This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings, welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, Jim and Tom. And today is an episode that I think we kind of previewed 2 weeks ago on our last episode, maybe 3 weeks ago. We are discussing Cobra Kai because you finally watched it amongst millions of other people.
Right.
I know once it made its trek over to Netflix, it became like a phenomenon. But before we get into that, I got some stuff I'd like to talk about because it's been 2 weeks since we've actually recorded. It's been one day since we've actually seen each other. But the first thing I want to talk about is we've kind of talked about it for a while, the Green Lantern series that's coming too.
Oh, yeah.
HBO Max. They revealed the Green Lanterns that they're going to use, and it's an interesting list, and it's omitting a few people, and I want to get your thoughts on it. The list includes Alan Scott, Guy Gardner, Kilowog, Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz, and Sinestro. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that, and the omission of probably the two most popular Green Lanterns, Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart?
Yeah, it's weird. Hal Jordan makes me think movies by not putting him in there to save him for a movie, but it still seems kind of silly not to have him. This is kind of Warner Brothers doing Warner Brothers thing. Mm-hmm. I think just put him in there and let both things be successful or whatever. I don't know if that's the case. And we don't get it. Jon Stewart gets no love nowhere.
Yeah. I kind of think he's going to the movies.
Yeah, but...
With like Hal Jordan as a mentor.
So the Corps existed for a little while.
I think what we're going to see in this trailer, or the series, I'm sorry, is the beginning of the Green Lantern Corps, or the stabilization of it, if you will, because they have a bunch of generational characters. You have Alan Scott, who is decades old, golden age character. You have someone like Guy Gardner, who kind of came around late 90s, early 2000s. And then you have Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz, who are, quote, newer characters.
Right.
So it kind of looks like you're getting the evolution of the Green Lantern.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that all works. There is a Green Lantern archetype that most of these people fit. Well, Jon Stewart doesn't, but it's kind of like cocky asshole and goes on to, you know, Kyle Rayner's that,
who's not noted in this series, which is interesting.
Yeah. So if you were to say, you know, that applies to everybody, the if they're not in this, they're in the movies, you can't have Kyle Rayner, Jon Stewart, and Hal Jordan in a movie.
It would be too much kind of alphaing each other.
And Jon Stewart isn't really fall into that cocky.
No.
You know,
he's like level-headed, you know, he's a military man, so he's plays by the rules, where Hal and Kyle are complete douches.
Yeah. And Guy Gardner for that, but I don't know how that's going to work. It'll be interesting, but it's good that we could potentially get multiple Green Lanterns. There is definite beats that we have to hit. And I think, you know, we have to hit, you know, Parallax, you know, with maybe Guy Gardner, or not Guy Gardner, Hal becoming Parallax or something like that. And, if we're going for Blackest Night, Rayner needs to become the White Lantern.
Yep.
And kind of Jon Stewart needs to be that force, that steady force, that mentor for all these younger Lanterns, which is the kind of where I think he would have fell into place with all the Earth Lanterns he could have been a mentor to. While, you know, Hal's becoming a supernatural, natural entity, and Rayner's,
he's like Space Jesus.
Yeah, basically going Super Saiyan. Yeah, and then you just have him like holding the fort down here with these ragtag group of Earthlanders. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but the exclusion of them is kind of weird to me.
Yeah,
but in this animated series, they are giving us the fact, they are telling us the Lanterns have existed for a long time, like you said.
I mean,
we get all different generations of Lanterns. So.
Yeah, and this is actually going to be live action, which is cool.
Right, right.
So you're getting this series, and it's maybe, you know, maybe they're saying this is going to get the Batman and Gotham PD experience where they coexist with each other. You know, the HBO Max stuff coexists with the movies. I don't know. It smells like Hal and John are going to go straight to the movies.
Right.
The thing that got me, and I've talked about it before, is Sinestro. I think Sinestro is a creme de la creme of the villains, and he should be a movie villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Red Lanterns would have been a better TV villain. But
yeah,
who am I?
Sinestro's a one-time. Yeah, you're right. It's like a knockout punch. Like, he's a former Lantern. If you're already establishing that the Lanterns existed, and you could talk about in this series or something else, you could talk about, you know, we don't talk about him. We don't, you know, we don't like
to bring Voldemort. Up
what he's done. Right, right. We don't speak his name, and he's a myth. He's a, you know, a rumor and a whisper. And then, yeah, dude, it would to eventually get to the Blackest Night. We do need to introduce all these other spectrums, and the Red Lanterns is probably the biggest next to the Green, the biggest spectrum.
Yeah,
maybe yellow, but I think, you know, more people kind of geared towards red and kind of like they're red are the ones that people are like, I can get behind them. I know they're like evil, but they're rage and they're like, as soon as you lose something, you get angry. You could be, you know, I think Supergirl was a Red Lantern for a little bit. Well, everybody's kind of been a Red Lantern, but
yeah, I was hoping for Atrocitus. Maybe we'll get that in the movies, but I'm optimistic about this series because we're finally getting news about it. It's been about 2 years since we've heard about this. And it's not just – we're not just getting a Hal Jordan series. And I think that they're kind of learning their lessons that for their DC television stuff, the ensemble cast works the best.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
I got another positive news. Star Trek Discovery was renewed for season 4.
Yeah. That's not too surprising there. I mean, it's their flagship, I guess.
Yeah.
Even more so than Picard, but, you know, give Picard some time. It's only going season. Or even just a couple episodes, really. But, yeah, it's their flagship over there. And
they got a spinoff out of it, too, with the Pike series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is definitely their flagship. It's their Walking Dead of the CBS All Access.
Well, CBS All Access is really just Star Trek.
It's Star Trek Plus.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's a Star Trek show either coming to or already on Nickelodeon?
Nickelodeon? No.
Yeah. And Janeway's going to be in it.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
It's an animated show, but not on the same lines as Lower Decks, where Lower Decks is probably like The Boys meet Star Trek. Yeah. This is more of like Rugrats in Star Trek. Okay. So it's something that when I saw her name, I was like, I know you liked her as a captain. So
yeah, most people did. They tried. It was a different take on it, but yeah.
Yeah, she led the way for what we have now in Star Trek Discovery. You know, she was the first female captain, and now we have a new female captain. So it works. One more thing, and then we'll get into some karate action. Static Shock. Getting a movie.
Yeah.
With Michael B. Jordan co-producing with the Static Shock creator. I've read that it's a short film. So maybe this is kind of like an introduction to Static Shock to see if Milestone Media.
Weird. Yeah. Especially for Michael B. Jordan to put his weight behind. You know what, though? It's... For a bit, I don't know. I can't make any sense of why it happened, but it has disappeared off the face of the earth. To make a comeback, maybe it's baby steps, and the right thing to do is, like, look, you know, we're just going to mention my name. We're going to put it with this. And once you see how much reaction it gets, you're going to want it back. And it has gotten a huge reaction, positive reaction. And I'm not surprised. No, I don't think anybody's surprised about it. It's such a good character to sit on the shelf.
Yeah, and you kind of thought it would have came out in Black Lightning.
Yeah.
It's right. One of those characters that spins right out of that series.
Yeah, it was perfect for it. And it's odd that, I mean, we literally just mentioned this, mentioned Static Shock a couple weeks ago, I feel like.
Yeah.
That it's just being wasted, and it's a shame, but good. Michael B. Jordan, I think he's got enough clout that
absolutely.
I think he could be perfect for it.
I think there's a couple things to this, actually. I think that if it's a short, it's low risk, high reward. Because right. You go in there with whatever budget you have, and you just ball out, and you make a crazy good short. Kind of like what they did with Punisher Laundry Day with Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
And they put that on YouTube. It was 15 minutes. It was awesome. People wanted Thomas Jane as the MCU Punisher. That's your chance with this one. Also, you have Michael B. Jordan, who could be kind of working his way in with the people at Milestone, because they recently at Fandome announced that Milestone Comics is no more. It's Milestone Media, and their comics are coming back in December or in February, and then they're going to be working on bringing these characters to life. So what better way for Michael B. Jordan to play a new superhero, or a newer quote-unquote superhero, than to align himself with Milestone, where he could play Icon in maybe 2025 or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Because I think Icon is awesome.
Yeah.
You want to talk wasted talent, Icon's one of those characters.
That whole Milestone media now, it was filled with wasted characters. It never made any sense why it never, it just spun its wheels. And, you know, they gave it a few chances. And, you know.
It kind of made me think that DC was worried that those characters would outsell their popular titles.
Yeah. Right.
And if they can't own them 100%, then they're just going to shelve them.
And that is exactly what I think they did. They squashed them. I mean, it's what Marvel did. You know, Disney and Marvel, when they couldn't get the X-Men or they couldn't get Fantastic Four, they said, all right, well, we're not going to produce any of their books.
Yep.
Fuck the fans. You know, it was kind of a petty thing to do. I think it's kind of related, because it just does feel like a real petty thing to do.
Yeah, and they kind of did that with the Max characters, too, for a while.
Yeah.
They were too gritty, so we got to change our ways.
Yeah, whatever we can't get our hands on and make our way, then we don't even want to put their books out, which is, you know, kind of a crazy thing, but it's what was working. I don't know. You know, and I think this gets filed away into a category we're pretty familiar with. Nobody knows what the fuck happens over there at Disney and Warner Brothers. Still don't, never will. So.
They just said that the Disney shareholders are mad at Marvel Studios for prolonging the Black Widow release, and that should just go straight to Disney Plus, because that's why Disney Plus is Disney Plus. It's available for that reason.
They got a point.
Yeah, I agree.
They got a point.
But they're smarter than us. They sign bigger checks than we do.
Yeah.
All right, man.
It's true.
All right, you ready to enter the dojo?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's talk about a show that premiered May 2nd, 2018 on YouTube Red, which is something that you and I experimented with for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, to be honest with you.
I have YouTube Premium, which is like the background, so I can play stuff in the background. I think that's what it is now. I don't know.
So they're not producing any new content.
I don't know if they are. I'm not watching it. There is a YouTube TV. People tell me it's great, but I don't know. We had our experiment. We did what we had, you know. As reviewers, we reviewed a few things, and we seen how something good, where you know what happens, it get gobbled up by something bigger. So,
yeah, and who would have thought that this would be the one to get gobbled up? And like, knowing that we live in reboot culture, and everything is going to be rebooted or revived. Like, we just see Dexter just got revived for a 10-episode season, which is insane. But we get, you know, spun out of a great karate movie from the 80s. We get a series that is now going to be 4 seasons deep, because it got renewed for a third with Netflix and then renewed for a fourth. But I'll tell you my starts with this. I actually watched this a little bit later in 2018, not when it came out. But when it first came out, they released the first two or three episodes on YouTube for free. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. I watched the first one. I loved it. Watched the second one. It continued. And I was like, all right, you're going to have my money. So I had YouTube Red for a little bit just to watch this. Then I canceled it. And then season two came out. And I rewatched it. And, man, this is a fun show.
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers to follow.
Yeah, spoilers. It would be easy to say that it's just simple fun to watch, and that's why it's great. But it's more than that. I mean, it's, you know, we'll get into how it makes you feel and the nostalgia and all that, but also it's really well done.
Yeah.
Like, the acting's great. It's not like it feels perfect. It feels like it came out of 1986 they started acting, and you know what I mean, like, it feels like it's just a continuation of the first Karate Kid movie and even the second one. Won't talk about the third one, but
or the you don't want to talk about the Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith one.
Get out of here. Why couldn't you just call yourself the Kung Fu Kid? I don't understand why you couldn't have done that. Like, why did you have to
reboot culture, man? It's reboot culture, and that's the Karate Kid's a sexy IP, apparently.
Let me goddamn write that down as another reason why I hate Will Smith and his family. Fucking Karate Kid.
Karate Kid.
Man, I had, you know, extracted that from my brain with a fork, and I totally forgot about that movie.
And here we are.
Yeah, but this was it's like everything that we talk about is an homage. This is a reboot, but it's not a reboot. It's a continuation. It is a direct continuation. It's not a reboot. It is canon to the Karate Kid culture.
Yeah. Who would have thought a 1984 karate championship would have evolved into a turf war? This is like Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do is essentially the Bloods and the Crips in the karate community.
Oh, yeah, it definitely. And especially the last episode of the second season, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, like, I'm watching it, and, like, I rewatched it again with Chelsea, and she's like, why are people using karate to solve their problems? Like, why can't they talk? Like, it's guys and dolls with heel kicks.
And, it's so many, like missed opportunities and like lack of chances to have a conversation and just all these different things that lead to like dire consequences and people just kicking each other in the face.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense. Like, he's he's cursing at the kids and he's drinking in front of them all the time. But you like, it's crazy that they flip the script and they just make you go, okay, well, I could see why Cobra Kai makes sense, like, to these kids that are bullied and these kids that don't, like, are you going to accept it or are you going to do something about it? And, I just now I'm like, man, I wish I knew karate.
I'm going to go buy a gi and just walk in the shop, right? Just like, if anybody cuts me off in traffic, I'm getting out and kicking them.
Yeah, but, I'm definitely more what's his name than
Stingray.
Stingray,
my favorite character. He's by far my favorite character, 100%. This is the series in a whole is one of the most compelling shows that I've watched that I didn't expect to be compelling. Every time you want to pull for Johnny, he messes up.
Yeah.
Every time you're thinking that him and Danny are going to become friends and they're going to, like, that scene when they're at the Mexican bar or the restaurant, and they're salsa dancing. You're like, this is awesome. Like, we're finally going to have that moment where they're going to squash their beef.
Everybody, then, it's so good for everybody. Little do we know in like 12 hours that the whole world's going to collapse. But
And nobody, like, there's no time to sit down and have a conversation and say, all right, what happened? It's always, Cobra Kai is evil. You did this on purpose. My drunk daughter showed up at your house. That's your problem. That's your son who I've been mentoring that brought her to your house.
Yeah.
You're the problem. It just, it's so cyclical of how, like, the blame gets passed and nobody, like, the only person who really takes blame for anything is Robbie. And, and like, and he's a little bit of a scumbag too. So you're like,
yeah, he's got,
I don't know who to pull for.
For a little bit it was Hulk, but
yeah, and then he became Johnny.
Yeah, then he steals the medal and
he's getting tattooed on his back and he got.
I like that. I love that. I like the. but then Kreese gets in his ear and then turns him into a monster. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, you want to say Miguel, but even Miguel, like, that's what's good is you say, okay, well, I want to get behind somebody and I want to, you know, I want to feel better. I want to follow the characters that are heroes, but it's what the TV show's telling you. Don't stop heroes. Stop with the heroes. Nobody's a hero.
Yeah.
Do your own shit. Don't take it from anybody. Keep moving. You know, stop the hero worship and you know, kind of do your own thing. And that's how these people are. They all have problems and are all just normal people up until the point where they all know karate.
Yeah. And I don't know if the kick-ass take names approach of the 80s and the 90s holds any weight today in this society where it's record first, report second.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the message I get, like, I think that the show has merit, and I love the show. Like, this is going to be a 5-star review for me, spoiler alert. But yeah. I like that it starts with heart, and it's showing you these kids that are being bullied, and then Miguel's, like, smacking up Kyler in the middle of lunch with the with the tray, and then, you know, they touched on Dimitri and Aisha, and Aisha might be one of the most underrated characters in this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, she tries to be that, like, that bridge, and then she gets wronged by Sam, and then she's pulled in with Tori.
Maybe Moon?
Yeah, Moon's great. And then, like, you know, she's... Why can't we all just get along? Because, like, she's, like, that kind of new age.
Well, I don't know. I kind of felt... I was like, Moon, you're a bitch. When, spoilers, we're jumping to the very last episode. Or maybe the second to last, but
where she's after, making out with her girlfriend.
No, that was fine, whatever. But after Sam LaRusso, like, Facebook's messages was gonna tell you everything that happened, and Moon's like, oh man, that sucks. It's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Why don't you come to my party tonight? And then
and everyone's there.
Yeah, all the people that she was just talking about, like, Aaron. Moon's like, oh, well, whatever, man. You got to get your chakras right. And
yeah. You got to hear some crystals. You got to align. I think when I boil it down to who I root for, it's between Miguel and Robbie.
Yeah.
Like, and which you're not
I think is the path that we're supposed to go down.
See, I don't think you're supposed to root for both of them. Like, it's kind of like Twilight. It's like Team Jacob, Team
Edward. That's probably true, yeah.
And I'm team both. I'm team friendship. Like, because, like, I can tell you what team I'm not. I'm not Kreese. Team Kreese at all.
No.
And the introduction, the reintroduction of him just sparks 100% evil into the show. It's like when Lord Zed showed up in the Power Rangers.
They do make him so, like, even after you find out that everything he's ever said was kind of a lie.
Yeah.
You know, where he's homeless basically, and he lives in like a shelter, and Johnny still takes him on, he still has some kind of like hold and power over these kids, and he's this karate dojo. Yeah. And what's crazy is it's just these two karate schools in the middle of, like, basically Los Angeles in the suburbs or whatever, Pasadena. Yeah.
Reseda.
And for some reason, somehow, it has taken a hold of this, like, major metropolitan area in California.
Karate is king. And, like, they've Daniels never heard of kicking bonsais else. Out of people.
They've never heard of any other thing. Nobody's ever studied it. It's a karate and karate. That's it.
Wait till season four. They introduce the the Gracies.
Yeah,
like the BJJ team comes in. And, like, there's a new, like, MMA gym that rolls up next door to Cobra Kai.
Kreese's instructor comes and kills Kreese or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Chokes Mountain. But now Kreese is. You see him on the show. He's 100% taken over Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
But he's got Koala Kai on TV because he's got that commercial where he's doing the Koala Kai. Are you surprised that Johnny never adapted to current times? He's still he's stuck in 84?
In a way, I mean, I know they did it. I know it's kind of like a creative license. He had no reason to not just go with the times. I mean, stepdad was wealthy. Yeah. I guess what they were saying is he basically became a bum.
He never got over getting kicked in the face.
And what's her face being stole from him?
Oh, yeah.
Ellie. Who I guess we might meet next year. But he never got over it, and I guess he became a bum, and maybe I guess it seems like he went to jail or something like that. So who knows? Who knows why he couldn't, roll with the punches, so to speak, and get a goddamn phone and a computer.
But, yeah, like what's the Facebook? Like all those jokes, I'm like, oh, this is so bad. You can tell this was written for YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the dialogue's very normal. It's like you don't have Johnny going out and like having like a soliloquy and like going out there and just like he's hitting you with like $10 words. And Daniel, he's a used car salesman, and they never really went to be anything other than those guys who did karate with day jobs.
Well, I mean, Daniel's, seems to be extremely successful. So,
yeah.
And somehow, and
there's Johnny.
Johnny becomes moderately wealthy and able to support himself after just opening a karate dojo for a year or six months. So who knows?
It's how did this series make you feel with like all the Easter eggs and the throwbacks?
Well, and we get a lot of flashbacks too, but it was great. I don't always fall for that, and I don't think it's always done well. A big glaring example of that would be recently Terminator. An old Arnold or an old T-1000 or whatever. And everybody resoundingly said, man, I don't give a shit. Who cares?
So, yeah, put Linda Hamilton back in her coffin.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it could be done well and it could be done bad. And I think they're doing it like really well. And what's great is what I think works is, William Zabka, who plays Johnny, and Ralph Macchio, what's his name that plays Kreese? Martin Cove. I don't think they ever thought they'd ever come back to this place. I don't think it was a thing that they ever thought they were going to do.
No, I thought they were going to continuously just do con appearances.
Right.
Like, that's like, both, like, all three of them were supposed to be in Cherry Hill this year.
Yeah, I know.
And I know my buddy Dan was all about meeting him, and I was like, yeah, I'll meet him.
Yeah, why not? But, so I think they're just having a great time doing the silly.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows like they really enjoy what they've done, and it's fun. I wonder how many of these, I don't even know, but like Mary Mauser, who plays Sam, I think she's like 24.
Yeah.
She might be like the oldest of these kids that we're talking about. How many of them like weren't even alive? Don't even know what.
Yeah.
Weren't, you know? Don't even know what. I think Karate Kid might have been 100% done up until that stupid, you know,
Will Smith movie, yeah, or Jaden Smith Kid. Movie.
Might have been like 100% done by the time most of those kids were born, and now they're kind of like reenacting it and being called assholes by their
by their adult instructor.
So it's such a weird thing that, you know, is it is important to them? I don't know, but it seems really important and fun to, you know, the originals like Ralph Macchio and Martin Cove and William Zabka, which, where's he been and why? I hope he
did like Hot Tub Time Machine.
Did he?
I think so. Maybe for a minute.
He needs to get a lot of jobs after this because this is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean the acting in this is fantastic. And we'll go to that in a little bit, just like the way that they kind of stretch their legs. But the flashbacks, I think, are well done. I think they work very well in the series, and they're not just there for gimmicks and be like, oh, look, we're the Karate Kid, if you didn't know. Like, they're there for a specific reason. Ralph is telling a story, William's telling a story, and then they do the flashbacks. And you see Mr. Miyagi, and that's bringing back, like, that's for us. That's not for the people who are new to this. That's for us. You right. see the cars, you see the bonsai, you see, you know, the mentions to Allie, you see the rest of Cobra Kai, that episode where Johnny goes to break his friend out of hospice. The most emotional episode of the season. It's kind of like when Johnny kind of, his balls dropped a little bit, and it was like, all right, I got to be more responsible. Like, I have a son, who doesn't care about me, but I'm trying to rebuild that relationship. And I have Miguel, who is like a son to me that I care about, and I care about his mom. So, like, you kind of see – that's where you start rooting for Johnny. And meanwhile, you know, Kreese is playing, like, Puppet Master in the background with –
being real slimy in the back.
Yeah, especially with Hawk. He beats up Dimitri, who, like – I feel like I identify with Dimitri a little bit. Like, he's buying Dungeons & Dragons stuff. He's, like, buying the comics. But then, like, as you're pulling for him, you're like, oh, he's becoming, like, he's a victim of bullying. He bullies Hawk. So, like, he's giving just as much as he's getting. You know what I mean? He's defending himself with words because he can't defend himself with his kung fu until the last episode.
You know, this is kind of like his be the drum moment where, you know... Or like any Karate Kid movie where they have flashbacks to all the lessons and he's like, oh yeah, anticipate. I don't know. I him where he's confronting. I looked at it as he's confronting Hawk. He's using his weapon. His weapon is not his karate, but his
verbal warfare.
And barbs. And it gets him in trouble, sure, but it's what he had. And basically everybody's getting into fights. And
Everybody. Those two toddlers were fighting each other in the episode.
Yeah, how old are they? Why are they in high school?
They gotta be like eighth grade kids who transferred, like, or they're like young Sheldon.
You're right. Everybody, you're like, yeah, I'm rooting. And even for the Hawks and Dimitri's relationship, I was like, I really do. Look, they're bonding over a female Doctor Who. I was like, I can't. This is perfect. And then, you know, he reverts back to his Hawk state. So
he's like the Hulk.
Yeah, he is. You know, somehow they made this really fun to watch. You know, it's like a teen drama. But they put like really good karate action interspersed into it, which I didn't know I cared about karate anymore.
Right.
And it's great writing. It's great, you know, pretty really good action. The last episode is really phenomenal and well done. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's well done. And I care about people and characters I haven't cared about in literally 30 years.
Yeah. Who's your favorite character on the show?
Johnny.
Yeah, he's great.
And you know, I fluctuate. I really like Miguel.
Yeah, me too.
And I think he's gonna come out of this looking the shiniest. When all this is said and done, I think he's gonna get the most work from this in Hollywood. I think.
I've already casted him as the Blue Beetle.
Yeah, I saw that. That's perfect.
He's perfect,
though.
Right?
Yeah.
This is superhero training for most of these actors, these young actors. Like, this is working their way up to, like, I've casted a few in this, and like, I think Robbie Tanner Buchanan could be a perfect Robin.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though he looks like the fourth Lawrence brother, from he looks like Joey Lawrence or like. He looks like one of the, wasn't there a Taylor Lawrence or something like that? He looks like one of the Lawrence kids.
Yeah, there's like six or seven of them all acting at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fits right in with the 80s.
Taylor Buchanan?
Tanner Buchanan.
Yeah, Tanner.
Robbie. Yeah, he's got the most 80s. He's like got the perfect look for this. The most 80s look to for this show.
Surprisingly ripped too. Like I wasn't thinking like I think Aisha called him abs, but like I wasn't expecting him to be as ripped as he was, and he's got good physique.
Well, they did this in a like they all these are well, I guess in 2018 they were, you know, I think Miguel or I don't know what his name is.
Shola Marijuana.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's like an SH.
XOLO.
Yeah.
Well, he plays Miguel. I think he was like 17 when this started. But they all play very convincing teenagers and younger teenagers.
They really do.
So, and they fit the body size. Like, they. Like. Taylor Lautner when he was playing Twilight at the end, like he's not a fucking high schooler.
Yeah, 25 abs and you know he's got a full beard.
Yeah, like you know, come on, man. He looks like he's 50 years old. But no, it's a very convincing cast, and it's a cast that kind of put themselves, you know, they're willing to go through it and work hard. So I think it's convincing. I'm convinced.
Yeah, it seems like it's a pretty cheap cast of kind of up and comers, and like for it was YouTube, so it's low risk, high reward with these guys. If it works, then you've got a hit, and you can get some good money from it. And if it doesn't work, then you've given these young actors and actresses a chance, and you've given them their sizzle reel, for example.
Yeah,
these guys are capitalizing on that, and I think that's credit to whoever did the casting. You have your foundation with William and Ralph, but the kids were the main stars. And if you failed on that, it could have been like Deadly Class, where that was supposed to be great and it wasn't as good. It could be like any other, you know, Freeform or CW show that doesn't do well. And they really capitalized on this and got fairly unknown cast member actors and actresses, and they crushed it. My favorite character, like I said, was Stingray. who's probably had the most roles recently than any of these people. He was in I, Tonya, and he was Richard Jewell in the Richard Jewell movie. So, you know, he's my Halloween costume. I think I'm easily 2 feet taller than him. But the introduction of him into this show, when they brought him in, I was like, oh, my God. We first meet him in, like, Lowe's, right?
Yeah, when he's selling lumber or something.
He's selling like mirrors to Johnny.
Yeah.
And then he shows up at the party. He shows up at the camp. He's in the karate class now. And you're like, oh, give me more of this guy. And then it goes to the end of the season where he's saving the day with most of the kids. He's breaking up all the fights. You know who else? I didn't realize it was her until I started looking at the IMDb. Tori. Is Peyton List from the Disney show.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's actually pretty established. This is the second time that I've seen her pretty recently because I saw her in that Hubie Halloween.
Okay.
And she was
I
in
wasn't
that.
Watching that.
Yeah, that's easily a negative four. So, you know,
there's
that.
But you went in there with that as a zero. You had to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just brings itself back. Steve Buscemi kept it from going to a negative five. He
Why
shines
does he
in that.
Work with them? I don't. Whatever.
It's an easy paycheck. It's an easy paycheck for him.
And I guess he's friends with Adam Sandler, but I don't understand it.
When all right, so when in the series did you realize you were hooked?
Jeez, that's a good one. I don't know. Like, probably. They're kind of like on this. They're on this collision course. So, when he finally creates Cobra Kai, and I'm behind it, like I'm rooting for Cobra Kai to succeed, and like I'm. At first, it's Miguel for by himself for a while. That might have actually been is when Miguel fights. What's his name?
Kyler.
Kyler was an end around for me because I thought Kyler was going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like the way he's introduced in the first like three episodes, I was like, oh, this is the jerk off that we have to. This is the old, you know, this is Johnny now.
Yeah. This is you have to worry about Kyler.
And it turns out he's a nobody.
No, he's a little afraid.
Punk. Yeah, he's a little punk. Yeah, right around, when I started rooting for Cobra Kai's school,
and,
they kind of feed you the narrative that Danny LaRusso's kind of an asshole now, and he kind of is, kind of a douchey, riding on his 1984 karate trophy laurels.
Yeah, one kick. Yeah. He's riding off a illegal crane kick.
Yeah. He's like one of those people that goes to Italy once and then tells you how you're supposed to make pasta and how you're like what's good Italian food. Like, man, you don't know what's good Italian food, you know. But he studied karate for 6 months and he went to Japan. So he wants to tell everybody what Japan's like. So at some point I was rooting against Danny, but now I they actually got better writing than that, and that's not all it was. It was just, you know, any day of the week, whoever story you're watching, you could relate to it, and that's what I think I like most about it.
Yeah, I think episode 2, I think, is when Kyler and Miguel had their fight. No, I think it was much later. It was after that.
Yeah,
Episode 3 was when they got me. When I knew something was going to happen when I saw the title. It was Esqueleto. And I was like, are we going to see the skeleton Halloween costumes?
Right.
And we saw it. And I was like, you've got my money. I'm watching this every week. And I think that's when I realized I was hooked. I've watched this series twice. Back to back.
Through? Really? I literally just finished this week. So
yeah, I watched it when it came out for season 1, season 2, and I just watched it last week again, the both seasons, so because I knew we were going to talk about it eventually, because now you've seen it and Chuck's seen it, so I feel like I have to refresh myself again.
It's good too because they're rolling out third season right away. They must have been filming it. So
January 6th, I think, or January 8th. It's a Friday on Netflix. We're going to get a full season, which is great.
Minor spoilers here. Well, not minor. We've already spoiled everything. Maybe one of the best cliffhangers of the last couple of years.
That's where I'm going. What did you think of the finale? We've talked about this.
Right.
This is Gang War Central.
Yeah, so the last episode of the second season, which is effectively the last episode that, you know, we saw, they basically go, there's a, you know, the pots all boil over. And what's good about this is it's like every episode, you see a counter to this happening. You see, with every good thing, a bad thing has to happen. They're going to take something from you. And we see, like, Johnny's out on a date with Miguel's mom. He shakes Danny's hand. You know, it's kind of water under the bridge. They're joking about it. They're having a great time. All is right in Johnny's world. And then everybody goes to school and loses their mind and completely loses their shit. But it starts with Peyton List.
Yep. As soon as they introduced her, I was like, oh, you're evil. You are the female Martin Cove.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's dirtier than Hawk. She's dirtier than Kreese. Like, yeah.
She fights with a weapon.
She does. She cuts the shit out of her arm.
Yeah.
So there's this, I would say, like, an epic brawl of karate students or of Miyagi-Do versus Cobra Kai in a school. Yep. And that's, yep, it gets ridiculous. It enters a point of ridiculousness, but yeah, you're kind of wrapped up in it.
From the jump, it enters a point of ridiculousness because where are all the teachers?
Well, some come out and go, I'm not gonna, what am I going to do? Yeah.
One teacher gets beat up and the other one's like, hell with this, I don't get paid enough.
Yeah. And then the security guard, Stingray.
He was interviewing for the job. Stingray didn't have the job. He was just there with a napkin that says he takes karate to interview for a security guard job. He's like, hold on, principal, I've got this. And I love it. That slow-mo scene, his beard's still braided, and he's just breaking up a bunch of nerds fighting each other. And I was like, this is it. This is my dream.
Yeah, it was so good, and it was so silly, and I guess that's the point. Like, it's supposed to reach a point of ridiculousness because that's what happens in the 80s and 90s. It just, you get to a certain point, and then you're supposed to shut your brain off and ride on, you know,
yeah,
just coast to the end, and just enjoy what you're watching. That's basically what you did, and you're like, oh, this is great. The action was great, and then at the end of the fight, the lesson that was taught was mercy. Sometimes you got to give a little mercy. Counter to what they've learned in Cobra Kai up until this point. And it gets them in trouble.
And, yeah.
Robbie basically breaks Miguel's neck.
Yeah, like, so, I didn't see that coming.
No, no.
I watched that scene and I played it in my head and I said, it wasn't going to be Miguel to get kicked over the barrister. I thought what was going to happen was Robbie was going to get kicked to the barrister and he was going to fall and Miguel was going to grab his hand and that was going to be like,
yeah,
the breaking
of
the bread.
That's how you learn it. All the lessons get learned.
Yeah, and he was going to bring him up and then, you know, Tori and Sam were still fighting, but she saw that and she was going to storm away because she was pissed and she brought a weapon to school. And I was like, oh, that's the end of this. But when he got kicked over that, and he's falling in the slowest fall anybody has ever fell,
yeah,
I'm like, he's dead. Like, this kid's, they just killed their lead star.
It's crazy. The guy with the most, maybe the brightest future coming, like I said, I think he has a chance of doing the most coming out of this, literally might not ever be in it again. This might be the end for, yeah, him.
Chelsea said he got the Drake treatment in Degrassi.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life.
He might. He's got a broken neck, and who knows what's going to happen. Here's what, like, okay. He gets his neck broken. At the same time, Kreese has turned all his students against him, and basically all the students think it's his fault.
Yep.
Kreese stole the school.
Mm-hmm.
So Robbie's missing. We don't see him. Peyton List is missing. We don't see her, and she's the one that did it. They, you know, he kind of just takes off.
Yeah, Sam's in the hospital.
Sam's in the hospital with, like, broken bones and bruised this. And
yeah, because she got destroyed.
Yeah. It was fun to watch, but then I was like, man, that really does suck. I mean, it's a couple months, but now, that's what I'm saying. I think it was one of the best cliffhangers of this year of just first of all, it was episodic, which was great. We don't get to see a lot of that.
It was one of the best cliffhangers I've seen in a while. Because it's a bold move, because they didn't know they were getting bought by Netflix when that was released.
Right.
So that was the end of the season. That could have been the end of the series. And I know that I think William Zabka
they hadn't been picked up.
Yeah. So. And YouTube, I think, like we said, YouTube Red's kind of gone. So that could have been it. You know, we could have never got this answer. Nobody would listen to this episode except for my friend Dan, because he would have probably been the only one who watched it. William Zabka tweeted, everything changes, and it was like a flatline noise in the background, which led me to believe two things. One or two things. Miguel dies, which could be way too upfront and saying, like, listen, it's a red herring, he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Or Johnny gets in his car after drinking all of that alcohol, or gets in a car and gets into an accident. Johnny dies.
I don't know. I think that they're both too big. I think it's like the end of, but it's called Cobra Kai, so Cobra Kai can't go anywhere. Maybe it's something different. Maybe Johnny joins. Maybe Johnny joins.
They team up?
Yeah, Miyagi-Do.
Oh, my God. That's, could you, I have a theory, because at the end we see Johnny's phone lit up that he threw away, and it's Allie.
Yeah.
What if Allie comes back to Reseda and reunites Johnny and Daniel and was like, listen, it was neither one of you. Daniel didn't steal me from you. You were a jerk.
Yeah.
I left, and then I started dating Daniel. You guys shouldn't hate each other over me. And then they're like, listen, we got to get back at Cleese. We got to get our kids back. I think Robbie goes to jail for sure.
Yeah, well, something needs to happen. He nearly killed that Miguel. But like I said, it's like all these kids, even the, you know, these ones that are learning balance over at Miyagi-Do, and, you know, Johnny's trying to teach them not to be bullied, and the foundation's all pretty good. It is 16-year-old kids kind of left to their own devices, and you know, then it becomes, once they leave the dojos, it becomes Lord of the Flies when they get to these parties and the schools, and nobody wants to like step on their feet and just be like, all right, well, just let them get tired and then we'll throw them out of the school or whatever. So
yeah, this with a series with all the kids, and especially going back to high school, I was worried that one of the kids who really didn't, mainly Dimitri, was going to turn out to be a school shooter. And I was like, this, it's going to ruin the series for me. He's going to be a school shooter. And then now it's 13 Reasons Why. And I hated that show, and I don't want to hate this show. And when they had their, you know, Bloods, Crips, karate fight, I was like, awesome. Could you imagine, because Cobra Kai was the one who initiated the fight, that the school and the parents do a joint lawsuit against Cobra Kai, and now Cleese is representing Cobra Kai as the owner, and he gets it taken away.
That would be some reality coming back, slingshotting back and hitting them in the balls, because, you know, it's all fun and games during your karate riot at the school, but you know, if this did really happen, that's exactly what would happen. Is okay, well, now we have to figure out who has to pay for this, who gets the lawsuits, who's paying for Miguel's wheelchair. Robbie's gone on the lam, so you know, Johnny is on the hook to pay for it, and yeah, lawsuits get divvied out,
Daniel would be in charge of Robbie, because he enrolled him. Johnny and Robbie are estranged, so this could be a whole thing where Johnny has to team with Daniel to save his son and to save Daniel's name and to fight back with Cleese.
Yeah, it becomes a courtroom drama.
Oh, it's Law and Order. Dick Wolf takes over. He's the showrunner of this. Cobra Kai, SVU TV. Oh, my God. All right, so we've kind of talked about our theories for season 3. What do you rate this?
This for me is, and I heard everybody talk, you know, how great it was, and I was like, whatever, man. I don't need to, like, we watch enough reboots. We watch enough of this. And at that time, YouTube wasn't doing anything for me. Still hasn't, really. Originals. But this was great, man. This is easily a 5 for me. Like, yeah, without a same question. Thing. I loved every second of it. This was so easy, so much easier than watching a lot of stuff because they were fun. I wasn't taken it's not, this is real escapism. This is getting away from all the horrible shit that's going on and saying, great. Yep. It's fun to watch kids just kick the shit out of each other. Without regard to each other. So, it's a 5. It was nostalgia driven, but they didn't rest on it. They wanted to create something special and I think they did.
Yeah, same here. 5 out of 5. It hit all its marks. It led me wanting more, and it introduced me to new actors and brought me back to old actors and actresses. Yeah. So, yeah, this is getting a 5, and it actually might be our first 2021 episode with season 3.
Yeah, it's true.
So get ready for Cobra. This might be the Cobra Kai cast.
The January of January of 2021, right? Yeah.
Yeah, January 8th. It's gonna. I think that's going to be our first one because I'm in Texas for New Year's, so I might not be able to record. Spoiler alert for our listeners who don't care. But yeah, that's our episode, man. We're going to get out of here. Watch Cobra Kai. So when January comes, you're not confused when we start talking about what happened. Follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars podcast on all social media outlets. We're on every podcast directory. You can follow Active Geek every Wednesday. I have a YouTube show called the Super Late Show, so check that out. And next week we'll come back with some truly spooky stuff. We're gonna do two spooky episodes back to back in honor of Halloween. So yeah, here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.